Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. Our topics this morning are human trafficking and stalking. It's going on around the country and right here in the Motherlode. And we have a panel of guests that deal with these crimes. Tuolumne County District Attorney Cassandra Janecki, Deputy District Attorney Stephanie Novelli, and Pam Orbaugh, Community Services Coordinator at Center for a Nonviolent Community. Now that we've established that children are targeted by traffickers and stalkers, what can parents do to protect their kids? Pam?
So the first thing I want to say is you cannot shame your child out of talking to you or out of doing a behavior that might be unsafe or unwanted. So it takes having a pre-existing relationship with your child to protect them from these things. So these are things like being present, having conversations, admittedly monitoring their online presence. Ideally, if it can be something that is done together as opposed to more like a, you know, jail kind of, you know, keeping, monitoring presence. If it can be something where it's shared and understood and there's good boundaries and conversations about what to expect and how to behave online, that's top tier, something that they can do. And admittedly, other things parents can do to protect their kids is being really aware of technology, what's out there, hidden apps, fake apps, fake accounts. I have a perfect example is a parent would check their child's Instagram, but they had an account that was the account that they showed their parent, and then they had a dupe account that was their real account where they did sort of interactions engaged around sex or drugs or what have you. So it's really complicated, but it's initiating those conversations and it's being really aware. Like Cassandra said, Snapchat, that is a medium intentionally designed for content to disappear. So there is an element of parents can do a lot of media and technology literacy to understand what's out there and what their youth might be facing. And if they can have those conversations early and often, that will be very helpful.
And what should kids know or watch out for, especially online? And I was thinking right off the top of my head, taking photographs of themselves, nude photographs. Not a good idea.
Correct. So as I spoke earlier, a lot of more relationships are occurring in online spaces via technology. You know, you could be dating someone who's not in this community, who could be far away, that you met online. And those photos are called CSAM or child sexual abuse materials. And so I would want youth to know, because porn implies consent. So it's not pornographic because it's not consensual. They're under the age of 18, and that's who we're talking about. So if a youth is, even though they are willing to exchange an image of their self, it's still not legal, even though it's their picture. They might think, it's my image, I have the right, I'm at choice. Unfortunately, they don't, and that's why these laws are in place, is to protect them, because they may not be aware of how far these images may spread. They, servers can get hacked, and technology can be spread without any party involved spreading the images. And then also, there's revenge porn and breakup porn, abuse materials, where the images are shared maliciously after the relationship ends, even though at the time they were shared willingly and were a part of that building that relationship, it can also easily be just as used maliciously after a relationship. And so it's really being really cognizant and protective of your online presence and being thoughtful that once something is out in the on the World Wide Web, it is there forever.
Right.
And can be dredged up at any time.
And what specific things, if let's say they're texting or emailing each other, what should that child be looking out for?
A really important thing is adults or groomers may be posing as other young adults online. So it's really important to really not share any confidential, vulnerable, or explicit information or images unless you've without meeting someone in person first. I shouldn't say like meet in person first and then it's okay. But I mean, what happens is people make overtures, they build relationships, they say, oh, I'm so into you. It's very flattering. And they get pressured to engage in these behaviors. And often there's a trend of, well, you've sent it. And then it's used as material to pressure the youth into doing more acts. I'm sure Cassandra could speak more about how those materials are used to groom and entrap youth in participating in other crimes and behaviors, for sure. But essentially, what I would really want youth to know is to, if you send pictures or engage in sending and receiving of explicit material and the folks are under the age of 18, it's child sexual abuse materials and it is a crime and it can be on the internet forever.
Well, yeah, good to know. And now I want to switch gears a little bit because I think many people think more of adult women or immigrants coming to this country that are make up the sex trafficking trade. And in the study that I keep referring to, I saw that it said that 88% of victims of human trafficking in the U.S. are U.S. citizens, not foreign nationals. And so, Steph, I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Yeah, I think it's a common misconception or a myth that it's happening to other people, that it's happening to other populations, that it's not your neighbor, that it's not, you know, your niece or your child, that it's always happening to somebody else. But it's happening in our community to, you know, people here. And I think that obviously we've talked a lot about technology, and that makes everyone susceptible to nefarious people who are out to do bad things. And it makes it very easy to hide behind a computer screen and build these relationships. You know, we see shows like Catfish, right? Where people are looking for stability, they're looking for love, and they drop down personal barriers to strangers. And you never know who's on the other side of that computer. And then when you have these bad people who are looking to groom, like Mr. Pacheco, and who take advantage of vulnerable people.
And how, in other ways, are they targeted as well?
Well, when we talk about vulnerable people, we're talking sometimes about homeless individuals who don't have other options. We're talking about people who may be addicted to drugs or alcohol, who are looking for stability. They're looking for someone who can provide them with their substance of choice. And these bad people are using those vulnerabilities of these individuals to say, okay, well, I'll give you this. How about you do this for me? And it starts off small, and then it gets bigger and bigger. And before some of these individuals know, they're being trafficked.
Wow. And Cassandra, what are we seeing in terms of the trafficking in the county?
So in order for us to find and see trafficking in our office, law enforcement has to be looking for it and investigating it. You know, when I moved here, I had someone tell me once that, you know, prostitution doesn't happen in Tuolumne County. Human trafficking doesn't happen in Tuolumne County. And I will be so honest with you, Tracy, that's simply not true, right? As we sit here today, we know based on statistics that it is happening here. And so we have a really incredible sheriff, a great police department that are making great strides to identify and investigate these types of crimes. You know, Laura Krieg, when she was our district attorney, charged our first human trafficking case against Daniel Clifton in 2015. That was a combination, frankly, of sex trafficking and labor trafficking, where Mr. Clifton pretended to be someone that the victim did not know in order to exploit and basically blackmail her into sending, you know, pictures of herself in order to continue his illicit relationship with her. And so when we look at what can happen, anything can happen. When we look at what is happening, it is happening here. And so, you know, we'll talk a little bit later about what the public can do, but to piggyback off what Pam said at the start of this segment, it is so incredibly important for parents to engage meaningfully with their children and to make sure that their children are educated about the risks they take when they're online.
We have been talking about stalking and human trafficking right here in the Motherlode, and that includes some shocking statistics. And we are speaking today with a panel of guests that deal with these crimes: Tuolumne County District Attorney Cassandra Janecki, Deputy DA Stephanie Novelli, and Pamela Orbach, the Community Services Coordinator for Center for a Nonviolent Community. But right now we have to hear from our sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Stay with us. We'll be right back.